and what of course is the point of our Catholic lives, that which is forgotten by too many, divine service. Divine service. Service to our Lord. The Church had warned in wiser days in the 1950s of what she called the heresy of good works, or what Cardinal Seurat calls the heresy of activism. That reality being so worldly that you construe and understand things only in a worldly way. And we've seen that for the last 50 years. The whole misunderstanding of our Lord washing his apostles' feet. Most think that is a call to service. Parishes throughout the city, the parishes will break into chaos as everyone rushes to wash each other's feet, thinking that service to man is far more important than service to God. But we know the argument can be made and has been done so by virtue of what is evident by St. John, who does not include the whole narrative of the Last Supper, but puts in here instead the washing of the feet. Makes sense that half-hearted loony Catholics would make it a point to think that it's always about washing each other's feet, divorcing this action from the sacred action of our Lord in confecting the Eucharist. Think of it, what he is doing for his apostles is what he says they must do, which is why they do not understand at the moment, but they will understand later. That is divine service to God through the celebration of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is first and foremost divine service to God the Father through God the Son and power of God the Holy Spirit. It is the great privilege we receive of entering into the divine life of the Holy Trinity as far as is possible for us miserable, finite creatures. And it is about that dynamic that this washing of feet is focused on. The condescension of the second person of the Holy Trinity. To this very day, for those who live in the Holy Land, it is a great insult to show the bottom of your feet to another person, as they are, by long tradition, the dirtiest part of the body. And therefore, for Jesus to wash the feet is demonstrating the condescension, the second person coming to us. And even the profound humility that occurs every time our Lord makes himself present, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament, solely for our benefit, solely to allow us, by virtue of our entering into his life by baptism, to be washed clean from sin. All sacraments get their power from Christ and Christ's crucifixion. The Christ offers himself in divine service to his Father. John underscores that reality, that he knows all power has been given to him by the Father, and therefore he still uses that power in becoming the sacred victim, in becoming the sacrifice, at the same time also being the altar and, of course, the priest. And all priesthood, which is commemorated on this evening, is about that reality. Living a supernatural life centered on the Christ, centered on the sacramental life, and therefore washing the feet of the people, as it were, by virtue of sacramental graces, beginning with the sacrament of holy baptism. The great cleansing that occurs when we fall into grave mortal sin through the sacrament of penance, and the graces that can be received by going to confession, even with venial sin, the graces that will allow us to avoid sin in the future. To be confirmed in the faith by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and his gifts, the confirmation of baptism, and living the life of a soldier for Christ, willing to fight and defend against the enemies of our Lord and the enemies of Our Lady, Mary Most Holy. And indeed, the sacrament of holy matrimony is the way in which you enter into that supernatural life, but in a way that is seemingly mundane and ordinary, if you wish to make it so. The sacrament that St. Paul calls the mysterium magnum, great mystery, because you're called to live in the world, but in a world that is bereft of hope, of faith, of charity, and to demonstrate the love that Christ has for his church in the world. Therefore, your hearts, although fulfilling the obligations and duties you have in this world, their hearts are set on the reality of being on the pilgrimage to heaven, which often turns into a fierce spiritual battle. The church, in her infinite wisdom, by virtue of what Christ has given her, provides for the soul when it is about to depart from the body. And indeed, an imperative when you consider the reality of what happens when the soul leaves the body. Because the moment the soul leaves the body, there is no chance for repentance. And therefore, the prayers of the priests are directed to the soul at certain points, but most of all to God. To have mercy on the soul, to absolve the soul of sin, because once the soul is out of the body, the sensory perceptions are gone, and therefore the soul cannot perceive its need to repent. And all of this is not possible without the Roman Catholic priesthood. But we can see the fruits of the last 50 years, where indeed it is wisely said by those of us who see the truth, that those who adhere to that notion that it's all about washing one another's feet would never acknowledge the great mistakes that have been made the last 50 years of making everything focused on man, a horizontal vision, no longer vertical vision. No longer looking up to our Lord, but only looking to man. And we see what that looks like with regards to how too many masses lack reverence and look more like circuses and community events rather than the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill. You go through life believing that all the church is a social service agency, and then no wonder young men are not only not hearing, but dare I say, are refusing to listen to the call to the priesthood. Because they do not see the point of a supernatural life, because they have bought into the natural life. They do not see the priesthood as necessary because too many have been corrupted by the reality that the priesthood means you're nothing more than a social worker who in some cases happens to wear black. And he's just like everyone else, not called to any distinction. Distinction by virtue of acting in the person of Christ, of serving the great master, the strong one, the conqueror, the victor. Normal men want to serve the strongest, the master. Effeminate men only want to live for themselves and the softness that can come from married life divorced from its sacred mission. And therefore they are reluctant to hear the call to the priesthood. They're reluctant to work for the salvation of souls. They're reluctant to look towards God instead of towards the world. And therefore, they willingly make themselves deaf to the divine call to service. They act like the apostle Peter before confirmation, who doesn't understand what the Lord is doing and refuses to allow our Lord to wash his feet. Too many young men refuse the priesthood, refuse the call to orders, refuse to offer themselves in imitation of Christ, who offers himself on their behalf, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the most blessed sacrament. They refuse to see the great supernatural reality that is communicated by the very ordinary action of washing feet, which of course at the time was extraordinarily humble on the part of our Lord. But that's what the priesthood requires, not the effeminate humility of today where you become a doormat and you cater to the needs of the people and make sure they're all happy so they fill your collection basket, the effeminate version. But the version where you're willing to be as Saint Jean-Baptiste Marie Vianney said, that when you step down from the pulpit, the faithful should be ready to kill you. And if they are not, you are not doing your job as a priest. The humility of preaching Christ crucified rather than yourself. The humility of living for Christ rather than simply for yourself. The humility that is required to gain and increase constantly in your knowledge of the faith, lest you lose understanding. And since we know will follows understanding, without the proper understanding, there is no will. There is no will to serve when one has reduced the washing of the feet to a mere community ritual. And indeed, Peter had it explained to him, and so he is overeager. Wash my whole body. Not necessary. What is necessary is baptism. What is necessary is the continued practice of the sacraments. What is necessary and most important of all is the most blessed sacrament, the Eucharist. We are on a path to destruction as a world and as a church without priests. And too many young men, it seems to me, are embracing not the spirit of courage that St. Paul calls them to, but the spirit of cowardice, which has them moving in the opposite direction of the real sacrifice that the priesthood requires. They're not interested in the salvation of souls because they cannot see past the world. The institution of the Eucharist on this night is tied to the institution of the Roman Catholic priesthood. In too many parishes, there will be no mention made of the priest, only of the people washing each other's feet, which then leads to calamity because they no longer see their lives as service to God, but only as service to one another. And therefore, without that connection to God himself, Deus Caritas Est, then their love is artificial and flawed. Without priests, you see a disaffection in the sacrament of holy matrimony because men enter matrimony for the same cowardly reasons that they say no to the priesthood. Too many are doing it for a soft life, not a life of self-sacrifice, not a life of imitation of Christ that marriage requires of them, but a life where they can snuggle and have ease and comfort. Not all men do this, of course. Good Catholic men know that they're dying to themselves by entering into marriage, but too many have used marriage as a place to hide from the vocation of the priesthood. And the devil has been extremely effective, as St. Francis of Assisi predicted that he would, in getting the wrong men to become priests in order to destroy God's church from within. And so many souls have been corrupted by the antics of the devil. And so many young men have bought in to the reality that the material world and their own personal happiness is far more important than serving the Christ, the victor, the conqueror, the strong one, the holy, the mighty, the immortal God. Let us then be extremely aware of what we're doing in this Triduum. We're doing what we are supposed to be doing, divine service. But at the rate we're going, it will not be possible in the future because there aren't enough priests. There aren't enough courageous men who are willing to deny this activism of the world and be active at the altar. To be young men who are worldly in their vision. Let us pray then that entering into this mysterious sacramental time will allow the graces to be poured forth on those who are reluctant to commit to Christ, that their minds will be illumined by the light of Christ that will scatter the darkness of error that the enemy has put over their vision to make them believe that worldly comfort and convenience and worldly sentimentalism is more important than service to God. Let us indeed pray that as we receive those extraordinary graces, those special graces that come during the Triduum, that we will recognize the importance of our divine service and be willing, you as lay people in particular, to be willing to suggest the priesthood to young men and even boys. I was in third grade when it was proposed to me. Be aware of the reality of grace. Be aware of the reality of what God can give you the power to do. And those of you who are in the sacrament of holy matrimony, be aware that good vocations to the priesthood come from good families. Rarely do they come from broken families. And if they do, that's when you have those priests that don't know how to be fathers, that don't know how to be courageous, that don't know how to lead people to transcendence. It is indeed good families that foster good vocations. So the work is not simply done by our Lord who calls young men to service, to wash the feet, and not in the worldly sense and the loony sense of today for too many Catholics, but the real sense of service at the altar, confecting the Eucharist, hearing confessions, saving souls. Let us indeed pray, especially in this time of great crisis for the world and indeed for the Church, that we reorient ourselves to God, that we think of service to Him first, especially those of you in the sacrament of holy matrimony who too often get caught up in concerns of the world and not in the concerns that lead the world to God, who often get caught in the darkness and do not see the light. Pray for the light. Pray for illumination. And as we go through the Sacred Triduum, as you will be sacramentally present to the Last Supper in particular, recall the reality of what our Lord is doing, conquering Satan in a way Satan does not expect, in the most horrific, humiliating way. But he comes out the conqueror, and the enemy does not want this to be known, hence the cloud of confusion over the world and especially over the Church, where young men are afraid of serving the conqueror of conquerors. Let us indeed enter into the mystery of the Triduum with great intention and be docile to the graces and then respond according to your state in life as you are in it to divine will. And those who are discerning it, be open if you are a Catholic young man to the great action of acting in the person of Christ for the salvation of souls, where you are indeed washing the feet of others, but not washing them in a temporal sense, but indeed allowing them to experience all the graces necessary for the salvation of their souls and real survival in this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.